If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
I think that we miss the purpose of Christianity. I think that part of our assessment of the Christian life has to do with our need to be rescued. Many of us need to be rescued in our physical life, our mental life, etc. And so we reach out for people to help us in those situations. Last week, as I was preparing for next Sunday night's healing and deliverance service, and the Lord said to me, he said, my people still believe the doctors more than they believe me. He said, because when they go to the doctor, they expect the doctor to fix what's wrong. But when they come to me, they are willing to accept what's wrong because they don't know me. But we feel this need to have God rescue us. And if we're true to ourselves and to the principles of the Word of God, we have to say that most of us in here have not been rescued. Contrary to what we have been taught, Jesus did not die to keep us from hell as a primary reason. In fact, that's a secondary reason. And I know that there are some who may shudder when I say this, but hell just isn't that important. It's a place that God has prepared like the detention center. It's a place where you go to wait for your arraignment and your formal sentencing to the lake of fire. We always talk about hell, but not many talk about the lake of fire. And all hell is the holding place until you get the final judgment. And according to the book of Revelation, our lives are going to be judged. The Bible says, and I saw heaven opened and a great white throne, and from the person who sat on the throne, everything in creation fled from it. He said, and as he sat there, he said, the books were open. And then he said, there was another book open, which is the book of life. And whoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I find it to be extremely ironic that the psalmist says that all of my days are written in your book before I was ever born. And so based on that theology, when you come to Jesus, you don't ask him to write your name in the book of life. You have to change your thought process. You're at that place of introduction to Jesus because your name was written. Your name doesn't get written because you've come. You come because your name is written. In fact, the psalmist says that all the events of my life were written before I was born. Now, that should be a source of hope for you, that nothing happens without your God being over it. But the response that we give to him is what's important. And so today, I want to look at something that will help you in your Christian evolution. I am a believer in evolution. I am a believer in the Darwinian theory of evolution. Man did not evolve from apes. That is not what Darwin proposed. That has been a misrepresentation of what Darwin proposed. Darwin's theory was that the weak give way to the strong, and that the evolutionary process means that there was something there before that could not sustain the change of the atmosphere or the living conditions, and something else evolved and took its place. So because you did not see certain species of animals doesn't mean that they've evolved to another species, because that would require a genetic change that man or animals are incapable of doing. How can I have been the result of an ape when we don't share the same DNA? And yet this particular theory has been promoted, and Christians needing something to fight just demonize the whole principle. But the weak give way to the strong. And in your life, there are things that are in you that God evolves out of you. There's some people that no longer fit your life. And so as God makes you stronger, they naturally fall away. And you have, as a human, an inherent desire to bring everybody along with you. And some lack the capacity to go. Now today, we've been discussing love. And once again, the Spirit of God says love works. The reason why we don't know that it works is because we have not truly walked in love. We walk in lust, selfishness, personal desire, and affection. And affection has limits. You never really fall out of love with a person. It's just that your affection changes. The affection of your teenage years, when your testosterone is high and your estrogen is high, the affection of those years is directly tied in to the chemical responses of your body. You're not thinking clearly. Most of us are driven by impulse. Most of us make decisions based upon impulse, social standards, peer pressure, the assumptions of everyone else about us. So I must live my life so that you think I'm successful, not so that I think I'm successful. But as you grow, the reason that God doesn't do anything about it is because he knows you're going to grow out of it. And at some point in your life, you ain't going to care what people think about what you wear. And that's indicated by what you're wearing. And I'm not trying to be facetious. As a child, as an adolescent, you had to have the $500 sneakers. Why? Because everybody else had the $500 sneakers. When you reach 50, your sneakers cost $1.99. And you look at it and say, that's all right. They fine. They all right. And you wear them things to a dress ball. My feet hurt. My podiatrist told me, I was having an issue. I had fallen arches, and I went to my podiatrist, and he told me about this place up in Montgomeryville, where you get these like they're like a slip-on shoe it's got this high arch in it that kind of raises your foot, and he says you wear them around the house. You wear them at night, and so they keep your arch supported so that it can naturally get back to where it belongs. And he said, these shoes are so comfortable that a client of his, they were at a formal fundraising banquet. The man had on a black tuxedo and tie. It was formal. And he looked down at his feet, and he had those shoes on. And he said, I don't care what people think. My feet are comfortable in these things. And you, as a teenager, you never think that way. Why? God knows you're going to mentally evolve where you just don't care. And so in our Christian walk, God wants you to get to the place where your pursuit for him is greater than your pursuit for the things of God. It is erroneous for you to say, I'm chasing the things of God. That's an immature statement. That's an adolescent statement. A mature statement is, I'm chasing God. Because the things change. They evolve. What made me happy at 10 doesn't make me happy now. And that's proven by my mental response to the television shows that I watch today and declare that the context is silly, whereas when I was younger, I enjoyed it. Now when I watch The Lone Ranger on a cable station and he gets, you know, somebody gets shot, I look at it with bewilderment and I say, why aren't they bleeding? But as a child, you walked around, pew, pew, because there was no blood. So your reasoning changes. Now, at this point in your walk with God, your reasoning changes. Something doesn't make sense. I can't spend my whole life rolling on the floor at the altar. I can't spend my whole life dancing down at the altar. I can't spend my whole life being a public spectacle. At some point, this life has to begin to affect my normal existence. Jesus comes out after his confrontation with the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He comes out of that particular confrontation, and the Bible declares that as we enter into chapter 5, he preaches a sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, but he preaches this sermon, and in this sermon, this sermon contains the principles of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus' strongest encouragement in that particular message is seek how the kingdom works. Now, I know there's been a perversion of the kingdom in these last days, and folks are espousing that theory, marrying it to the church, and it's not necessarily the correct way that we're getting it today. It's not the way Jesus was trying to make it. Jesus wasn't saying that if you're a kingdom dweller, you ought to just have all this money and all this other stuff. That's not what he's saying. The kingdom is not about individual wealth. But the kingdom is about learning how to apply the principles that may make you wealthy. Okay, let me put it to you like this, because you're looking at me like I just got off the boat. If I come into this building one night when no one else is here and I have 10 $100 bills, what is that? $1,000, all right. And I take that $1,000 and I hide it underneath the pulpit. I put it in an envelope and I staple it to the wood underneath the pulpit. And I tell you that in that church, there is a $1,000 envelope. May the Lord bless you in your search. And then I step back and I leave you to your search. I have done the most important thing. I put the money there. And I told you it was there. I can't do anything else. Now, some of you who are extremely cynical would say, I don't believe you, so you'll never look. You may even come up to the pulpit to preach and teach and never even look because you don't believe me. But it's there, but you don't believe me. So you go back and pray, Lord, where is the money? Lord, where is the money? He said, no. I told you it was there. And then I've given you reasoning abilities, physical skill. I've given you a sensible place to look for it. Now go find it. And you're like, no, Lord. Show me where it is, Lord. He said, no, you're lazy. Because if I was going to do everything for you, I would not give you gifts and abilities. So you're asking me to give you a job that you're not qualified for, instead of saying, Lord, let me find my qualifications. When I find my qualifications, I don't need God to give me a job. And if I want something that I'm not qualified for, I have to increase my qualifications. God is not going to have the company lower their standards because you pray. That is not a principle of the kingdom. But he will help you find a program in school to raise your qualifications for their standard. That's kingdom.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr., of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.